From Mimeo Field at Harry Grove Stadium, this is Unlocking the Keys with JJ Myhouseki.
Hey fans, great to have you back here on the second edition of Unlocking the Keys here in 2021. We have a lot of exciting things coming up today. We're going to hit a little bit on the promotions and single game tickets that you might have seen release on Monday. We're also going to have a special guest today, Kerrick Jackson, the president of the Major League Baseball Draft League, will be joining us later on in the podcast. So before we get to all that, let's head to the on-deck circle and talk a little bit about those promotions. Well, Keys fans, you asked and we delivered. As you might have seen, our first set of promotions and single game tickets were released on Monday. Those games are from May 26th through June 13th. Those 10 games are in that first block of release this year. We're going to be doing four separate releases as the year goes on for all our home game promotions and single game tickets. And we hope to have a lot of fans here at Mimeo Field this year. We hope you want to check out those single game tickets. If you do, you can give the box office a call 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, or you can visit frederickkeys.com to see what's going on with the single game tickets in that aspect. On the promotional side of things, we have a lot of exciting promotions coming up this summer. And in our first block, we're starting it off with a bang. On opening night, we're going to have a schedule magnet for all fans as they enter Mimeo Field for the game against the West Virginia Black Bears that night. And then moving forward, we're going to have Pirates in the Park and a luau celebrated right here at Mimeo Field. And this season in 2021, we're going to have fireworks every Friday and Saturday night after the games. The first four firework nights will be on June 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th. And again, those single game tickets are now available for sale. And you can go check them out on our website. And we can't wait to see you right here at Mimeo Field. But it's time to get to our Keys alumni of the day. And this one is an exciting one. John Means is our Keys alumni of the day. He pitched with the Keys in 2015 and 2016. Means posted a 5-3 record with a 3.10 ERA across 13 starts here in Frederick. And it was such a pleasure to have him here and be able to perform in front of fans right here at Mimeo Field. He made his major league debut with the Orioles on September 26th in 2018 against the Red Sox. And in 2021, he has been dominant for the Orioles pitching staff. Through his first seven starts, he is 4-0 with a 1.37 ERA and 50 strikeouts on the year. Most notably for Means so far this year, he threw a no-hitter on May 5th, a day that he will never forget about. Means in his no-hitter, it was the 10th Orioles no-hitter in franchise history and the first one since 1969 when Jim Palmer threw one for the Birds. It snapped a 52-year drought, which was the longest in Major League Baseball for a solo no-hitter. Obviously, the Orioles had a combined no-hitter back in 1991, but Means was able to get the job done back on May 5th. He struck out 12 batters, but he lost his perfect game on the wild pitch third strike to Sam Haggerty in the third inning. From there on, he was perfect. With that wild pitch, John Means is the first pitcher to throw a non-perfect no-hitter in which the team did not record a walk, hit by pitch, or error in Major League Baseball history. So that is an exciting stat to have. And obviously, it really stinks to lose that no-hitter on a wild pitch. But nonetheless, John Means was super excited. And more exciting news for the Keys. Jeff Arnold, our former broadcaster, was able to call the game on the Orioles radio network. Let's take a listen to what that sounded like for Jeff on the field.
Two flyouts for Crawford in the game. The wind, first pitch. A swing and a line drive. It is caught by the shortstop, Barrios. And John Means has done it in Seattle. He has thrown a no-hitter as the Orioles take down the Mariners 6-0. John Means joins the elite ranks of Orioles pitchers who have thrown a no-hitter. It is the first individual no-hitter since Jim Palmer in 1969. The first overall no-hitter since 1991 in Oakland. And today, a day that John Means will never forget, Cinco de Mayo, a no-hitter for Means as the Orioles come rushing out of the dugout, out of the bullpen, hugs all around. Means has done it. He has thrown a no-hitter against the Seattle Mariners.
Obviously, when a no-hitter happens, it is a social media craze, and this one was no different. The Columbia Fireflies even jumped a little bit on it. John Means' brother Jacob is in the Kansas City Royals system with the Columbia Fireflies, and he had the entire locker room watching the final pitch of the game, which came at about 6 p.m. Their first pitch was scheduled for 7, and the whole locker room erupted. Take a look at this. John Means' college squad, West Virginia, also sent him a special message out on social media after the game. Let's take a look at what they had to say to their former pitcher about his no-hitter.
Meansy, great job on a no-no. Mountaineers beat Pitt tonight on our home field, so it's a great day to be a Mountaineer. Great job, man.
Cinco de Mayo is going to be a special celebration for John Means every single year now. Here at the Frederick Keys, we'd like to extend our congratulations to him on that 10th no-hitter in Orioles franchise history. It's a day he won't ever forget, and we hope to see more out of him as the season progresses. Congrats, John. Well, we are excited to invite our second guest onto Unlocking the Keys this year. Kerrick Jackson joins us now, president of the Major League Baseball Draft League. Kerrick, it's so exciting to have you on today. How are you doing?
Appreciate it. I'm good, and thanks for having me on.
Well, Kerrick, you're a 20-year veteran of coaching and evaluating talent for Major League Baseball and throughout college as well. Most recently, you're coming off of a stint with Southern University and the Jaguars there, but what has it been like for you in these past few months to take over the MLB Draft League and serve as the president?
It's been exciting. I'm looking forward to what this league is going to be, going through this process, and, you know, never been in a situation where you're part of a startup league and kind of getting things going and seeing it grow from the ground up has been something that's been tremendous. And it's a new challenge. Like I said, I've done some different things, but this is something I've never done before, and it's been going pretty well.
All right, well, we'll circle back to the draft league in just a few minutes, but first let's talk about your college a little bit. And you spent a lot of time, you were at 8 different universities. So what was it like for you to be a coach at 8 different colleges throughout the early 2000s into the late 2010s? And what was that just like for you to be able to work with those college kids every day and be in that atmosphere?
You know what, I've always been a player-centered person, and so the idea of being able to be involved in the game, I think what I've told people is coaching is not a job for me, it's a passion, it's my purpose. I was blessed to have the knowledge to coach baseball, but I think if it would have been football or basketball that I'd had knowledge and been blessed with that type of knowledge, I would have done that, but it so happened to be baseball. So, you know, this game has allowed me to do a lot of things. I've traveled all over the country, I've traveled around the world, you run into so many different kids. And one of the things I tell people when it comes to coaching, I think that it's one of those professions that people look at it, quote unquote, as a cool job, but they don't really necessarily, people on the outside don't realize how much impact we have on these young men's lives, or women, if you're coaching women, but specifically in baseball and coaching these young men. I think one of the best joys is not championships or seeing guys get drafted or go to the big leagues, but 10, 15 years after the fact, when you're still referred to as coach. I think the idea of when you talk about terms of endearment, mother, father, husband, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, grandmother, grandfather, coach, like those all go in there. And that's a special meaning. And it's a show of reverence and respect for the impact that you had on those players' lives.
So doing all this coaching, obviously you did a little bit of jumping around, especially in the southeastern part of the United States. Was it ever tough for you to be able to continue your family relationships or do all that moving around that you did?
You know what? I didn't get married until I was 37 years old. And part of that was intentional, right, wrong, or indifferent. But I knew that the coaching path was going to be one that required me to move around. You know, some of our players, you know, from years to years say, hey, coach, you know, I want to coach as well. And I was like, no, you don't. I said, you know, because I tell them, I didn't make more than $10,000 a year for the first time until I was 30 years old. But I never had a problem with that. I enjoyed what I was doing and enjoyed the places that I was. And so for me, managing the family life didn't factor in again until actually I started at Missouri. And that's where my wife, we got married that November of 2010. And then now family became an integral part of decisions that we're making and how we go about different things.
Was there one college that really stood out to you in all your coaching that really stays close to your heart nowadays and you want to go back there and do as much as you can for them?
You know, I think it's weird because my longest stints were at Missouri and Southern. You know, Southern obviously being my first head coaching position at the collegiate level and Division I level, I think that will always hold a special place in my heart. You know, when you look at what we did in the short time that we were there, you know, my first year there, we won 9 games, and next year we won 34 games and won a conference championship. And being at Missouri, you know, I was the first Black assistant coach in the Big 12 and the SEC and the only recruiting coordinator. We won a Big 12 championship and ushered our way into the SEC. And so both of those places, I think, will always hold special places in my heart when it comes to coaching and fond memories. And either one of those places, you know, yeah, would love to, you know, if the opportunity presented itself to return.
Well, taking a break a bit from the coaching aspect of things, you were able to spend some time with the Washington Nationals as the Midwest Area Scouting Supervisor for 3 seasons. You oversaw Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, and the Dakotas. What was that experience like for you? And did that kind of give you the lead in into evaluating talent and knowing what to look for when you were recruiting players?
You know what? It's funny because that kind of came in the middle of my coaching career. And so I think that there was I think I was fortunate just to be around some people younger in my career of knowing how to evaluate talent. And that when I got with the Nationals, them trusting the experiences that I'd already had and just kind of was able to hit the ground running. Again, I like players. And so to be in a situation where, you know, I held the potential to provide a young man with the opportunity to go on and play professionally. Again, that's something that's a very special ability and challenge that you're tasked with as a coach, as a scout, I should say, because these young men are, everybody believes that they're good enough, but the reality of it is there's a chosen few. And so to find that right one that can get in and work his way up that pipeline is a special thing.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing some of those players jumping into this MLB draft league this season. One of the biggest things that you did as a college coach is you helped start up the Frank Robinson Baseball Coaches Association. And I just want to know, what's the mission of that organization and what does that organization mean to you, seeing as you had such a big part in getting it started?
Yeah, you know, so the ABCA started a diversity committee and they asked me to be the chair of that committee. And with that committee, we had 2 big initiatives. One of those initiatives was creating more opportunities for minority coaches. And the other initiative was creating opportunities for more Black kids to play the game at the grassroots level. And so we were able to take that professional initiative and spin it off into the Frank Robinson Coaches Association and, you know, basically put ourselves in a position where we're providing mentorship opportunities, resume building opportunities, giving people the tools necessary as minority coaches that they need to put them in a position to get some of these positions that are out there. And I think we're having more minority coaches that are coaching the game of baseball. And so we just need to make sure that they're visible, and not only that they're visible, but make sure that when the opportunities present themselves, that they're ready for them.
Mm-hmm. So obviously that has been a big part in getting diversity into the Major League Baseball Draft League. How has that played into helping you recruit who's coming into the Major League Baseball Draft League and just setting up players in that aspect?
Oh, it's been huge. I mean, 3 of our managers are minority managers. A number of our assistant coaches are minority coaches. We're looking to provide more opportunities and visibility for minority players. Obviously taking, you know, what I was able to do at Southern and having that connection with HBCUs, we're spending time going out and scouting and really trying to find some of the better talent at HBCUs to give those kids opportunities as well. And when you look at the league, and what I think this league can be. I think it can be an entry level introduction to Major League Baseball and all that's involved in it, from coaching to scouting to umpiring to playing to data analytics to, you know, media, social media reporting, all those types of things. I think that this league has a chance to kind of really be that MLB university, if you will, and all things MLB can run through this league and people can get experiences through internships, and then those internships turn into jobs. And with what we have set up, this will be an excellent opportunity to involve minorities in that process.
So looking at the summer ball side of things, obviously the draft league will be played May 26th into early August. You've been a part of a summer league before, joining the NECBL, the North New England Collegiate Baseball League, and also you coached a little bit in the Cape Cod League. What was your experience like in both of those leagues, and how is that going to translate over to how you're running the draft league?
Oh, it was a great experience. I mean, the NECBL is a quality collegiate league for players that come over from all over the country. You have great cities of where you're playing those games. And then obviously the Cape is the Cape. And being there and having that experience with that high level player, you know, in those towns all within, you know, an hour or less of each other. So those were both great experiences. And I think what we're looking to encapsulate in this league is, again, making sure that it's a player-centered environment and that we're putting these kids in the best position to be successful. I think we're different, obviously, than all those other leagues because we focus solely on the draft-eligible player. And when you look at the Cape, they're looking at the high-level freshman and the high-level sophomore. When you look at the NECBL, they're kind of span across younger players and some older players that, you know, maybe aren't draft-type guys. So our situation is very unique, and so it's to go out and find those draft-eligible, talented players, put them in this environment with quality coaching, big league, former big league coaches and minor league coaches and players, and give them an opportunity, again, to go out and be successful in this game.
Well, you've been the coach in a summer league. Now you're the president of one and running the show. What does that mean to you to be the president in this inaugural season of the MLB Draft League?
It was a huge honor when I was approached with the idea of them asking me to be in charge. It is also a huge responsibility you know, it's a heavy lift with everything that we have going on. And there's so many different moving parts. And, you know, working with all these GMs and these owners of these franchises has been a great experience for me. You know, I'm learning. I believe, you know, you have to be the consummate learner, that if you ever stop learning, then you might as well quit and go do something else because you're tapped out at that point. And so for me, this is just an opportunity to expand that knowledge base and experience base. And this process has been, it's been a challenging process, but it's been a fun process. And it's kind of, you know, one of those deals where you spend all the time and effort into building something and you can't wait to see what it's going to look like when it's a finished product.
What's been your favorite part of the job so far? Has there been one moment that really stuck out to you and gave you the insight of, yeah, this is where I belong right now?
Just, you know, when those kids accept those invitations and they're so excited and you get the email and thank you so much for the invitation, Carrick, and we're really excited about this opportunity. Playing in Major League Baseball has always been a dream of mine. That's the best part. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And obviously, I think the next best part would be opening day, getting out there and seeing these kids play and chase after those dreams and seeing the scouts show up and evaluate these kids and seeing kids then get drafted on draft day. I think that culmination of all those things is going to make this a great experience for everybody involved.
So the MLB draft has changed a little bit since everything has gone over the last year. It's been moved to July with the All-Star game. How is that all going to work from the aspect of the draft league working to get players out to the draft and be able to see them have their name called?
Yeah, so we will play all the way up until July 8th, and then we will take a break from July 9th to July 14th. So that'll allow the kids the time to go back home if they choose to do so. Some of them may want to stay and continue to work out, but we won't be playing games during that time. But go back home, you know, the fan bases in each of these cities to see which players from those rosters get drafted. I think that's going to be an exciting time. And again, it's going to be a new and different experience because the draft is moved back. And so now we're in a situation where we're going to see something happen that's never happened before.
From a coaching standpoint, has there ever been anyone that's been drafted that has a close place in your heart now because you were able to coach them and move them through college and then into Major League Baseball now?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had any guys make it of recent, but, you know, we coached at Missouri, Tanner Houck and Peter Fairbanks, Reggie McClain. You know, those are guys, that was a special moment when those were guys that that I recruited when I was at Missouri. And when Tanner made his big league debut, all the pitchers from our 2015 rotation had pitched in the big leagues at that time. So that was something that was pretty cool. And, you know, so seeing some of those players that we coached at Missouri, a young man that I coached at Southern University was a draft. His name is Javian Williams with the Giants, and he just got assigned to his first full season club. And so, you know, just kind of seeing those players that have gone along the way. And we have some other kids that I coached and recruited that are working through that pipeline and getting up there. And it's always a special moment when you see those kids achieve their dreams and get to the big leagues and you get a chance to see them pitch or play for that matter.
Well, it's definitely an exciting time, and I'm sure it's going to be fun for you this summer to get to know some of the players and across all these different systems. What's it like to have former minor league teams be in this league and be able to work with some of these organizations so far?
Oh, it's huge just because they know how things were run previously. And so there's a lot of things that we don't have to talk to them about when it comes to operating and running a franchise in that same manner. Now, the difference being they've never dealt with amateur players. They haven't dealt with the college landscape of things. So we're talking to them about some of those things and some of the different rules and things that take place like that. But to have people that have the experience that they have had and where they are and what they've done has been huge for me because I can rely on them for so many different things that are new to me that they've had experience with.
Well, we're definitely excited to have you here in Frederick this year. Any idea of where you might be spending your opening night on May 24th?
Yeah, it's right now it's between West Virginia and potentially Trenton. So looking at the schedule and making those plans out, but I will be making the rounds all summer and be around and get a chance to see. I took site visits, so I've been able to see every stadium and the towns, but looking forward to coming back and watching games being played.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Carrick. We really appreciate your time here in Frederick. We can't wait to see you here on the field, and we'll talk to you soon. Well, fans, there you have it. Carrick Jackson, the president of the Major League Baseball Draft League. It was a great conversation with him, and we really appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk with us. We hope you guys enjoyed that conversation at home. If you want to get more Keys content all season long, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, whatever. You can find them all right here on the screen. Be sure to check out those ads and follow us all season long. We might do some fun giveaways. Last week, we did a John Means bobblehead giveaway in honor of his no-hitter. So be sure to check out those social media channels as 2021 progresses. We'll post some highlights there of the games as the year goes along as well. That'll do it for the second edition of Unlocking the Keys. I'm JJ Mihalski. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.